All right. Wow. For those of you that are watching or joining us online, you have no idea what you're missing. Wow. What a great time of praising and worshiping and celebrating together in this beautiful place during this beautiful season. It warms my heart. So I say it every week, but thank you for being here. And we just sure miss all those. Don't we miss our brothers and sisters that aren't here today and aren't able to make it? Yeah, very much, very much. I forgot during my announcement time, I always get focused on what I don't want to miss or whatever. Dick said that, and I really appreciate the whole talk about angels. In fact, we'll talk about them in our scripture here in a few moments. We definitely don't worship angels, but Dick made a comment and said he hadn't encountered and or spoken directly with an angel. And I got to thinking, boy, I sure have. I have, in fact, I get to speak to an angel every day because I married her 23 years ago. My little angel's sitting right there. So, yeah, so I do get to speak to an angel every day. Dick, yeah, you're an angel. In fact, when she was in high school in their church, you know, Christmas pageant, she was always the angel, rightfully so. And her trail name is Halo. All right, enough said. I like the awes, though. Chris is up here. Aw. Yeah, I love you, baby. So, have you ever had a product that that you really like? Use it all the time. It's what you need, and it works very well, and is made pretty well. It's just doing the job. And then you see three of the most dreaded words in the English language. You know what those words are? Is it on the screen behind me? Yeah. You see these dreaded words, new and improved, and you think, oh my goodness, what did they do? They have messed up my product. Whatever this is, rarely, if ever, is that product actually improved for the consumer. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? Like, yeah, running shoes are classic example. I mean, you've got the perfect shoe, your body is adjusted, it's right what you need, and then they improve it for the next year, and suddenly you've got hip flexor problems and knee trouble, and you got to spend that $130, and then you get rid of those and get a new pair of shoes. I think it's by design, for sure. But rarely, if ever, is a product actually improved from the older model, the older style. I love old. I appreciate quality. I talked about cast iron. I really like old cast iron. I like to restore it. It's so much better than the new stuff. It's lighter and smoother and neater. It's just, there's a whole lot to that. But I appreciate older stuff. It seems like most everything made years ago was made better. Made tougher, more craftsmanship and more quality. I bought a new Remington rifle some years ago, and I was horrified when I got it out of the box. The floor plate is plastic. The trigger guard is plastic. I'm talking a Remington rifle. Yeah, plastic. Who puts plastic on anyway, new and improved. Rarely ever, I could go on and on. That's my sermon today. rarely ever is it actually improved for the consumer. I think what they improve is the company's bottom line, as they found a new way to make it even cheaper than before. But sometimes new actually is better. There are occasions when new is better. Now, I'm often asked, one of the most common questions I get is, how do you hear from God? Do you hear from God? And if so, how? How does God speak to you? How do you come up with your sermons and your points and all of those things? How do you hear from God? And so the question that we really need to talk about is, does God speak today? Does he speak to us today? And if so, how? How does God speak to us? Now, last week, I heard just wonderful things about Pastor John that came and filled the pulpit for me. We had a great Thanksgiving. Thank you for asking. We had a staycation. We stayed at home and just spent time together and in the woods and all that. So we had a great vacation. But I heard good things. In fact, I joined and watched Pastor John's sermon last week. And John did such a great job of explaining the characteristics of God. Who is God? What's he like? And he just went through several different things that we know about and can trust about our God. And so how do we connect to that God, to the God of the universe? How do we hear from this great God? So we're going to look at just a few verses in the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll be verses 1 through 4. And you hear me say all the time, we always read Scripture in context. That's vital. Cults are started by taking a verse randomly out of Scripture and then misusing it. We have to know who the author was, who's the audience, what's the context, and so that we can put it into, well, context and know what exactly is going on from God's Word. So here in the book of Hebrews, let me know, if you would please, who the author is, if you know, and let me know who the audience is, please, if you know. Let me know the context. Well, we know a little bit about the context. The point is, in the book of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote it. We're not sure. It's pretty classic Pauline writing, but there are other things that are not like Paul. We don't know for sure who wrote it. Paul's the most likely author. I mean, he wrote so many other books, like, why wouldn't we just pin it on Paul? But the point is, we're not exactly sure who the author was, and we're not exactly sure who the group of people are that were intended, other than clearly they were Jewish believers. Because in the book of Hebrews, it's implied that they know a lot about the Old Testament, the Torah, the canon of Scripture, the Old Testament. It's implied they know the stories, the traditions. There's a lot of assumptions made by the author to the audience. So we don't know a lot, but the book of Hebrews was written for a couple of reasons. One is to elevate Jesus above everything else. Angels, prophets, to elevate Jesus to Lord and Messiah. And the other reason Hebrews was written was to encourage the Jewish believers in the midst of persecution, reminding them who they are in Christ, to live for Christ, because Jesus is God, had come in the flesh. It's just an amazing book, rich and thick with theology. So I highly recommend reading it, but know that we don't know who wrote it, and we don't exactly know the intended audience, but I do know it's a good one. Man, it's a keeper. All right, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. The scripture says, long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So he became superior to the angels, just as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we can spend together, lifting up our hands and praising and worshiping you because of how worthy you and you alone are. And I thank you for your word, your holy and perfect, inerrant word. I thank you for this message that you have laid on my heart. And Lord, I truly pray that you will speak your word and your truth to us this day. I ask you to open up our hearts and our minds that we can more clearly understand who you are and how you speak to us today, and how it is that we can love you and obediently serve you more each day. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's message is about how everyone can hear from God, the creator of heaven and earth, if we will simply pay attention to several biblical truths that are contained in this passage of Scripture. So the first thing is that God has always spoken to his creation, to his people. The very first verse, verse 1, long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. So let's take a second and think about, why did God even go to the trouble of creating humanity. So we know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the mountains and the land and the seas and the stars and the planets, the sun and the moon. God spoke it all into existence. I definitely believe in the Big Bang theory. God spoke it and bang, there it was. God created everything, everything around us. He created the trees and the bushes and the birch trees that I so dearly love. God created all of that. And then God created the animals and the birds and the fish. And he said it was good. All of his creation was good, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't quite complete. And so out of the dust of the ground, God created man, Adam, there in the Garden of Eden, this perfect place, this perfect time, this perfect relationship. And God said that was very good. But even man alone was incomplete. And so out of man, God created woman to complete man. And so began an intimate and close personal relationship between God and his creation, Adam and Eve. So God created mankind to have a relationship with him. God created man to love and to be loved, a loving, intimate, close relationship. God created man to serve him. God created man to worship him, to glorify him. God created man to be to worship God because of his great worth. There in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they spoke with God. The scripture says they walked with God in the cool of the evening. I cannot imagine what that was like. And I'm sure you know the rest of the story and how Adam and Eve were tempted and they chose to disobey God and rebel against him and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in so doing, their rebellion was sin, and the relationship was fractured, and death entered the earth, and literally all hell broke loose. Nothing has been the same ever since. Sin wrecked and broke that relationship that God had with his creation. And so then God, fast forward children and generations and good things and bad things, and just fast forward through some time, God began to speak to and then speak through very special people called prophets. That intimate relationship was broken, and now as God revealed himself, his wishes and his ways, he did it through prophets, primarily through prophets, great and mighty men and some women, for sure, of God. Prophets, maybe most notably Moses. Moses was an incredible man of God. God spoke so many things. The first five books of the Bible, God spoke and wrote through Moses. Moses was a very famous prophet. Samuel, another one, very famous, well-known prophet. The major prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and then Daniel and Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. If you're taking notes, hurry up. Some of the different prophets that God used to speak his word to his people through. Verse 1 says, long ago, God spoke to the fathers and all of God's people by the prophets at different times and in many different ways. God has always wanted to speak to his people. God has always desired a close relationship. God wants his people to know him. In the beginning, he spoke directly to the people. Sin broke that. Then he used prophets to speak the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. God has always spoken to his people first through prophets. Well, what about now? What about today? Does God still want to speak to us, to mankind here today? Is there a new and improved version from the old ways, from the old days? And the answer, gloriously, is yes. Look at verse 2. In these last days, and that's today, that's the new covenant era that we now live in. In the old days, God spoke through the prophets. In these last days, these modern days, today, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken to us by his Son. Now, this is the new era. The old covenant was the Old Testament, the old covenant. Now we live in a new covenant that Jesus ushered in by his body and his blood. The old ways were through the prophet, and now the new and improved method that's actually better than the old is Jesus. Jesus is the new and improved model. Today, if you are going to hear from God, it's going to be through Jesus. If you're going to hear anything from God, it will be through Jesus. So what do we know about Jesus? What are some things that we know about Jesus? I'd like to ask you, go ahead, if you don't mind, shout out anything that we know about Jesus. He's love. Healer. Teacher. Ooh, there you go. There from the beginning. Yep. Ooh, he is God. All right, you guys are getting pretty spiritual. Very good. Thank you. He is God's Son. He is God the Son. He's the light of the world. He's the Messiah. He is Savior. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Word of God. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Good job. 2 Timothy. So Jesus is the Word of God. 2 Timothy, Paul writes to us and says that all Scripture is breathed or inspired by God and is useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God is complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. What do we know about Jesus? He's all those things. By no means is this a comprehensive, complete list of who Jesus is, but above all else, Jesus is God, and Jesus is the Word of God, and all Scripture is breathed by God. Jesus is the living Word of God. In the old days, God spoke through the prophets. Today, God speaks through Jesus. The number one primary way that God speaks to us today is through his Word. You want to know how to hear from God? Does God speak? Can God speak? How will God speak? I'd love to know more about God and hear from God. If you want to hear from God, get into his Word. The number one way that God speaks to us today is through his Word. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living and active and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides even joints and marrow, rightly divining even the intentions of our heart. The Word of God is full and complete and alive, literally the voice of God speaking to us from and through the pages. If you want to hear from God, get into God's Word. I know in my own testimony, my own story, boy, when God really began to get a hold of my life and change me from the inside out, the number one first primary way he did it was he said I needed to get into his Word. And so I bought a Bible that I could hold and read. It was larger print and easy to go through. And I just began to read God's Word. I began to do our daily bread every day. And I read the Scripture that was contained or recommended from the devotion each day. And then after a couple of weeks, I began to read the verses before and the verses after. Pretty soon, I just read the whole chapter that the verses for the devotion were contained within. Pretty soon, I read the chapter before that chapter and the next chapter. I'm telling you, 6 months, I had such a greater understanding of God's Word. I began to read the introduction to the books so I knew who the author was and who the audience was and what the context was. I began to read that, and it was like the words on the page grew, and they were huge, and they just poured off the page and directly into my soul. And as I read, it just, God opened my eyes and it began to make sense. And I hungered for the Word, and it fed me and filled me and changed me. And God began to deal with the sin and the issues in my life. And I grew and matured in amazing ways in a radically short time because of God's Word. I can remember reading passages for the very first time and going, boy, that seems like a pretty important verse. And so rather than try to find it, I would just memorize it. I would just apply myself and memorize it and go on and memorize more and more. And I had no idea God really wanted me to preach. I was afraid he did, but I wasn't really sure. I mean, like, how could God ever, ever use someone like me? And then looking back, it was just the Spirit speaking to me and preparing me to speak for him to other believers in just an amazing, amazing way. If you want to hear God speak to you today, get into God's Word. It's amazing how many people sit at home on phones and they know everything about all of their friends all over the country, some that they've never even met, and they desperately want to hear from God and never, ever even crack open God's Word. If you want to hear from God, the number one primary way is through Scripture. Well, I could love to talk more about Scripture and what it is and how we know about that it's true. It's true. The holy, perfect, inerrant Word of God. God is so richly preserved and protected His Word throughout the ages. The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls proved the perfect accuracy of God's Word throughout the ages. Let me just say, God's Word is the absolute breath of God to us today. It's the history of who God is, who creation is, and our relationship together. It's His story of who He is. If you want to know Him and you want to hear from Him, read God's Word. The second way, the next way that God speaks to us today is through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Himself. This Bible teaches that all believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells inside every true believer, every disciple. The Spirit of God resides inside us, and God speaks through the Spirit into us, into our souls, into our consciences, and into our minds. How does God speak that way? I think there's confusion. I think there's struggles. But I'll also say, I believe God speaks differently to individuals. Not everyone is exactly the same way. In general, the Spirit speaks through quiet times. By the way, if you want to hear God's voice through the Scriptures, get alone. Get quiet. Get off to the side. It's very difficult with a lot of noise and kids running around and stuff going on. You need to spend quiet time with God. And it's the same if you want to hear from the Spirit. He speaks in a very quiet way, a quiet manner, in a still, small voice. For me personally, sometimes I see how God was speaking after the fact. A day, a week later, I look back and go, wow, that was God's voice. God was just telling me. It's almost like a computer message, like He types it out and it just prints off in my soul. And then later I can kind of look and I sensed it and I thought maybe. I'm always doubting. I'm weak in faith, I guess. I'm always questioning, God, is that really you? Am I really hearing? And then later I look back and be like, wow, God in a perfect and precise manner was speaking to me. And so I've, through the years, begun to trust that more and more. And I hear God's voice in the still of my heart. Only a couple of times have I heard God very, very vividly just speak into my mind. A couple of times, there was always others that sensed and heard the same thing and confirmed what I was hearing from God. A couple of times, one was my call to ministry. One was that call to get into His Word. Another was my super weird, crazy call to go hike the Appalachian Trail. Another was my call here. Like, these are kinds of things that God just does. And I drag my feet and I say, no, that can't be. And God just reaffirms it. How does God speak to us through His Spirit today? Usually it's in a quiet, still, small voice. It's a sense or an awareness that God is wanting you to do something for Him, to stop doing something against Him. It's usually another level of obedience. But here's the thing. When the Spirit speaks to us, the Spirit always supports Scripture. The Spirit never will contradict God's word. Hear me on that one. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you, He will never contradict Scripture. Remember, Scripture is breathed by God. Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. Now Jesus, it's all God's Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit to human authors. God spoke to us. The Spirit never will contradict the Word of God. Cults are started when people think, well, you know what, the Bible, in fact, the Mormons, Joseph Smith, the Spirit came to him and said, the Bible, nah, you don't really need it. It's okay, but it's not great. It's all right. Some of it's good, a lot of it's not. Put the Bible aside. I'm going to give you a new revelation. 1822 years after the fact, the Bible, nah, here's a brand new book to go by. Here's some glasses to read some special words from me on these golden tablets, and only you can read it. You write it down and then see if anybody will follow you. You talk about black magic and demonic from the very roots. Scripture and the Spirit of God always support each other because the Scripture was inspired by the Spirit and the Spirit speaks through Scripture. Do I need to go on about that one anymore? All right, it's a big deal. That is a huge deal. The Spirit helps us understand the Word of God, and the Word of God helps us understand the Spirit's voice. They go together like peas and carrots, like peanut butter and jelly, like topwater baits and smallmouth bass. The Spirit and the Word of God go together. The Spirit helps us understand the Word, and the Word helps us understand the Spirit. Remember 2 Timothy 3, that the Scripture is inspired and breathed by God for teaching and training and rebuking and correcting in righteousness, that the man and woman of God are equipped and complete, ready for every good work. The Scripture and the Spirit go together. All right, complete together. The Spirit will never speak into you chaos or confusion. The Spirit may speak a deeper level of faith. He may speak some conviction that you don't really want to hear, but the Spirit of God never speaks chaos or confusion. All right. God speaks through His Word. God speaks through His Spirit. God also speaks through other believers. This one isn't as common. The number one way is through His Word. The second way is through His Spirit. But God also uses other believers. Sometimes God uses His people to speak truth to believers. Sometimes God uses His people to speak wisdom to other believers, to correction, even challenging us. God uses the body to support and encourage and edify and build up the body together. Sometimes God uses His people. Now, as a pastor, you can imagine, I hear from a lot of people, and I have developed a method of who do you listen to and who don't you? How do you discern a voice that you should listen to or a voice that maybe you should say, God bless you, brother or sister. Thank you. There's the door right over there. In love, of course, but how do you know what voice to listen to? I've developed a method. All right, Galatians chapter 5. If you want to know who to listen to, if someone comes to you and says, this isn't good, this isn't right, or I really like this, or I really love that, should you pay attention? If that person is exhibiting the characteristics of Jesus, if they are growing as a follower of Jesus, if they are maturing as a disciple, if that person that has come to you to speak truth or criticism, challenge or correct or whatever, are they exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? Do we know the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Is that person exhibiting the characteristics of Jesus? Love, joy, peace. Do they come to you with patience and gentleness and goodness, humility, lowly in heart? Do they come to you like Jesus? If they are a growing disciple, loving the Lord and loving others, exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, you had better pay attention to what they're saying, because God more than likely is speaking through them to you. I'm not talking new prophecy. I'm not talking new scripture. I'm not talking new revelation from God. I'm talking about edifying the body and building up the body. God speaks through believers to other believers. Now, who should you not listen to? Who should you be careful about listening to? Well, I'm glad you asked. So right before the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the flesh. Now, if a person comes to you and they are really encouraging you, man, you are doing great, this is perfect, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, or boy, you are missing the mark and this is terrible and challenging and correcting and whatever, if they are not growing as a disciple, if you've known them for some time and today they look no more like Jesus than years ago, maybe less like Jesus today than years ago, they've stepped back and pulled away, whatever, if they are exhibiting the fruit of the flesh, then in love, listen, and then go on following the direction of the Spirit. All right, how do we know someone might not be a valuable asset? The fruit of the flesh, Galatians 5, beginning in, 19. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity. Well, you might be saying, wow, I don't really know anybody that's caught up in that kind of behavior. I should probably listen to everybody. Well, it goes on, and it says another fruit of the flesh is idolatry. What's idolatry? That's putting anything before God. I mean, that's putting your job, your kids, your pet, anything above God is idolatry. Sorcery. Well, probably not many of you have a cauldron with bat wings and spider legs and things. You're not practicing sorcery, but following the stars. I've known believers, loved believers, that seek mediums and want to talk to dead people. Sorcery. Hatreds. Anger. Jesus said, if you just look at a brother or sister with anger in your heart, you've committed murder. Hatreds are far easier to commit than we would ever know. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, coming to someone with selfish motives rather than their needs ahead of your own. That's a fruit of the flesh. Dissensions and factions and envy. Drunkenness and carousing, dissensions and factions and envy. Did you know that calling up a fellow church member and saying, can you believe what that person did? Do you know what those guys are really doing behind the scenes? That's dissensions and factions and envy. That's gossip, and we excuse that one. We think that murder is bad, but gossip, well, that's it's prayer needs. It's prayer requests, right? Fruits of the flesh. Dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. And in case you're thinking, well, boy, I made it. Really nothing on that list is anything that I've ever done. So I can speak whatever I want to whoever I want. It says, and anything similar. And anything similar. The point is, we have to be cautious. We have to be careful who we listen to. If you have a godly man or woman loving the Lord and loving others and coming to you with patience and gentleness, by all means, listen to them. God uses his people to speak. I think the enemy also uses God's people sometimes to tear us down and discourage us and erode our confidence. So use some discernment from the Spirit as you go to listen to how God speaks today through believers. God speaks, number one, through his word. Through his word, God speaks to us today. God speaks through his Holy Spirit. God reveals to us how he wants us to live to glorify him. Remember, always reinforcing scripture. And God uses others. God uses men and women of God. We've learned the ways God speaks, at least some of the ways that God speaks, the primary method that God speaks. And he says it's through Jesus. If we're going to hear from God today, it's through Jesus. Why should we listen to Jesus? Why would we want to even listen to him? Well, look at the qualities and characteristics that Jesus has exhibited. The third part of verse 2 I'll just read the whole verse. In these last days, he, God, has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. God has appointed Jesus heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became superior to the angels, just as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. Talking about angels. So remember, the book of Hebrews was written by someone that knew the apostles, two Jewish believers. That we know. And it was customary in Jewish times to elevate angels. They wanted to worship them. They thought that God spoke through angels to his people, and he did at times. Sometimes they were right, sometimes they weren't. It was God speaking directly to them through a prophet. Sometimes it was through angels. Like we talked before worship, or at the beginning of worship, angels have messages from God. And the book of Hebrews, part of its purpose is to show us that Jesus is higher than even the angels. Even these feared beings that spoke God's word in truth, Jesus is far superior to them. He's been elevated above them. His name is above them. In fact, he's seated in majesty on high. So why would we listen to Jesus? Through his word and through his spirit, because he has been given the name that's above every name, because he has earned it with his obedience and his humility. Jesus is heir of all things. He's creator of all things. John says that there is nothing that was made that wasn't made through Jesus. Jesus is fully and completely God, and he's the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is like the beams of the sun coming off of the sun, the energy and the power and the glory and the splendor of the sun, such as Jesus to God. Jesus is the radiance of God. Jesus is God himself, and Jesus' word holds the universe in balance. The word of God holding everything, creating all things and holding it together. Why would we listen to Jesus? Here's all these qualities and characteristics. And then it says he paid for sin, the purification for sin. This God that spoke to us and created everything and created God's word, he died for us. Jesus, at the right time in history, willingly went to the cross and gave his life on the cross and died spilling his blood and giving his life to pay for sin. They buried him in a tomb, and he rose again, defeating sin and death forever. This God that did all this died for us. And now, because of that, Jesus is exalted to the majesty on high. And you and I have the privilege of speaking directly to and hearing directly from him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the old days, in the old ways, God spoke to his people through prophets. Many ways, many signs and wonders. And now today we live in an age where it is new and improved. It's actually better than that because God himself speaks directly to us, primarily through his word, through his spirit, through other believers. Definitely new and improved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us in ways that, wow, we are so grateful and humble to be able to have, to be able to communicate directly to you, to hear from you and speak to you. In fact, you created us to know you and glorify you and love you. And Lord, I pray that that's exactly what we would do. As we deepen our faith and further our walk, as we know you more and more, that we would also desire to spend more time with you and then help others to spend time with you. So, Father, I thank you for each one that is here today, for those that are joining us today and in the future online. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us in a fresh new way. Lord, help us to love you more and to serve you more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.